Welcome back to the Judge a Book Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I just wanted to get everybody up to speed and let you know what the plan is for the next 3 weeks of episodes. We are starting a new book today. It's called A Good Girl's Guide to Murder by Holly Jackson. You can buy your copy with the links in my podcast description and join in to chat with us. For this week's episode, we are going to be talking about part one. Next week, we're going to be talking about part two. And for the last week, we're going to be talking about part three. Each one of these episodes will be up on Monday. And I just wanted to get everybody up to speed because I know the episodes have been a little bit off track. So if you have any questions for me, feel free to reach out to me on social media. Those links are also in the podcast description, but I won't take up any more time. Let's get right into the episode. Hi, I'm Malachi, and you're listening to the Judge a Book Podcast. Downloads and reviews help us out a ton, so leave us 5 stars before you go. Every single week, join in for our book club where we talk about the books that we love, or maybe not so loved. New books will be chosen every month, and you'll get to listen to exactly how we judge a book. Welcome back to the Judge a Book Podcast. This week we are starting our first week of recording for A Good Girl's Guide to Murder. I am joined with my new guest this month, which is Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Malachi. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I'm so happy to have you and so happy that we picked this book because now after reading part one, I am engrossed. I can't wait to keep reading. I'm so glad we're recording this so we can chat about it, and I hope everyone else is as excited as I am. I know you love this book, right?
Oh my God, yeah. So over the summer when I actually first got into Book Talk, I didn't have an account until like August, but I read this book beforehand when I was just on the like hashtags and whatnot. And I saw someone recommend it and I was like, I'm a sucker for murder mysteries. I'm a sucker for just like thrillers in general. And also this cover's amazing. So I was like, I gotta get this book. And let me tell you, I read this whole thing in about a day and I cried. It was...
Oh my gosh.
Yes, it is amazing. And probably one of the best murder mysteries I have ever read.
I can't wait. I was telling my husband, who, if you guys have listened to the podcast, he is my co-host for Aragon, which we just did last month. I read part one and I'm like, I would finish this book tonight if I could, but I can't. So anyway, I'll let Sarah do a quick introduction of herself if she would like. So Sarah, if there's anything you want to say.
Yeah, so as Malachi mentioned, my name is Sarah. On TikTok, my username is Sarah M. Reads. I cover a lot of stuff regarding just, you know, memes or just a lot of book recs, especially LGBT rep in novels. I'm a huge sucker for murder mysteries and sci-fi as well. And my favorite author is Mary Lou. She is a queen and we love her.
Yes, I knew you were going to say something about that.
Yeah.
I am still pretty new to the Mary Lou universes. I've read Legend and I've read Young Elites. I've read the first book in both of those series, so...
I actually, I think I started reading Young Elites when I was in, like, early high school, and I couldn't get into it, so I put it down, but recently, a local bookstore near me had all the books I needed to finish my Mary Lou collection, so now I have all of her books, so now I can actually binge Young Elites if I want to.
That's awesome. Which one is your favorite book of hers?
Oh, God. You're making me pick. Out of the ones that I have read... either Rebel or a tie between Warcross and Skyhunter. If you haven't seen the cover for Skyhunter.
I know. I have seen it. The Skyhunter cover is gorgeous.
I don't know
that I've seen like a prettier like Under the Dusk Jacket cover. Like it almost looks like the Under the Dusk Jacket cover is a dusk jacket.
Honestly.
Yeah, it's so pretty.
Honestly. She blows me away every time, so I expect nothing less from her.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to be getting into more of the book. So if you've not read part one of A Good Girl's Guide to Murder, stop listening right now because spoilers are ahead. This week's episode of the Judge a Book Podcast is brought to you in part by Groove Book. I love Groovebook. It is the easiest, cheapest, most convenient way I have found to get all of my photos printed. I can select up to 100 photos off of my phone every single month and have them shipped to my door. It's only $3.99 a month, but if you want to try Groovebook, use the code Westbrook2147 to get your first book for free. I'll put the code down in the podcast description as well. So if you want to copy that, you can get your first Groovebook for free.
Okay, before we kind of get into really what we read, we kind of chatted a little bit over Messenger and talked about some questions kind of before we read, which I know this is a reread for you, but we're not going to spoil the rest of the book. We're just going to be talking about part one.
Got it.
But have you read anything by this author before other than this, or is this her debut novel?
I believe it's her debut novel. From what I understand, she is a UK-based publisher or author, and what happened is there is a sequel already out, but it's only available in the UK.
Which is crazy to me that it didn't release at the same time.
Yeah, it's a little weird. And I actually was just at Barnes & Noble yesterday, and they had this book on the new and notable table. I'm like, this came out in, like, late 2019, early 2020.
I don't know. That is too funny.
I think it's because Crush was also on that table. So I'm thinking that they're prepping for the release of the next book, which both of them come out in March.
Yeah. March 2nd for the sequel to this one, which is, like, perfect timing. I can't believe it.
Is it the same time as Covet? Oh my god, my bank account's gonna be dead.
Tuesdays, you know, book release days.
As you do. Yeah, but yeah, this is her debut novel, I'm pretty sure. And the sequel comes out. This is the first book I've read by her, obviously, but she literally has blown me away with her writing from just how good I read it from the first time I read it. And again, I'm just thrown back into the nostalgia.
I can't wait. I mean, I'm only one part in, and I already know that I'm going to really like this book. I know as soon as we get done recording today, I guarantee I'm reading part two, so.
Honestly, I read part one at work yesterday because it was so dead, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to take it because I read it already. It'll just be a quick read, and oh my gosh.
I know you talked a little bit about the cover of this book, but what do you think about the cover?
I think it's very, very much like what you would see in old FBI, like CSI Miami kind of shows where it's
like
just a giant
lines.
Yes. And it's literally just, it looks like that board that they try to use to like connect all the strings to pull it together and understand what's going on. But it seems so much more clumsy, which makes sense because I feel like in a way it kind of matches how like fast paced but also insane the plot twists are in this book, which I'm super excited for.
Yeah. So on your cover, I don't know, I've seen two different covers, and I think one might be the UK cover, but do you have the gray cover?
I have the gray one.
Okay, and then there's a white one, which I guess must be the UK version, which they're both gorgeous.
Oh yeah, and like literally either one you get, it doesn't matter. I know regardless, the sequel is going to have both a red cover. The UK one's very similar to the first sequel or the first book, and then Good Girl Bad Blood, that's the name of it. The sequel for the US cover has a bunch of like tangled up headphones, which I'm excited to see how that comes into play.
Yeah, that sounds exciting.
But yeah, either way, I know it's gonna be so good. I've heard people from the UK already talk about the sequel, and they're just like, it's so much better than the first, and I'm like, wow.
Whoa, that's exciting then.
Yeah.
Is this your typical read, or is it out of your normal genre?
It's definitely in my genre. For context, I'm also a huge, just like, my friend the one year gifted me like these murder mysteries by Lois Griffin. If you don't know who she is, she's very much like a middle school like read. And I think that's probably got me really into mysteries. So this is definitely in my genre. I also love anything Karen M. McManus writes because she writes amazing mysteries.
She does One of Us is Lying, right?
Yes. Okay. I think there's a new book coming out by her. The Cousins is already out. And there's another book coming out by her later this year called You'll Be the Death of Me.
Ooh, I really need to read her books. Little fun fact, when I first picked up We Were Liars, I thought that it was One of Us is Lying. I don't know why, in my mind, I thought that I don't know, when I first picked up that book, I thought it was going to be the other one, which I ended up really liking We Were Liars, but I definitely thought I had the other book.
It's been years since I read We Were Liars. I remember absolutely nothing about that book.
Yeah. For me, this is technically in my typical genre because I read YA, so if you take YA as like a genre, it's more in my genre, but I don't read a lot of mystery thriller books. Which would be surprising because so far on the podcast, this is the second mystery book that we've had out of three books. So you would think that's my go-to, but I really don't read a ton, but obviously I need to read more because I've loved everyone that I've read. So I'm most definitely a fantasy reader right now. And so that's what I normally gravitate to, but I'm loving this.
Gotcha. Awesome.
I am going to kind of go over what we read this week. So for week one, we read part one of the book. We thought that would be kind of a more simple way to divide it up, considering we're going to do three episodes of this podcast, and there were three parts to the book. So starting off, we kind of see the very first page is kind of in multimedia, like if you've read Illuminae. So I was like, wow, this book isn't just going to be all text. It's going to kind of have the little mix of stuff in it, which it did so far. But we see that she's kind of putting out a proposal to do a school project for her senior capstone, and she's wanting to dive into a missing person / murder case. And it is just so interesting. And the teacher's like, yep, you can do it as long as you don't talk to either of the families and don't break anything ethical. And I'm like, okay, here we go. Like, it really throws you right in. Like, page one, we find out, you know, that there's a missing person / murderer going on. Mm-hmm. So, super interesting.
Definitely.
Okay, so we meet the Singh family, and they are kind of hated in the community, and you don't really know why at first. We just kind of find out that everyone knows their house, it gets vandalized, this and that. And that leads us into finding out that the youngest brother has committed suicide in their family, and we find out that that's because he is the alleged murderer of a very popular, beautiful young woman in the community. So we start off, and we find out that the Singhs are a family in town that everyone really dislikes. Their house gets vandalized, there's a lot of hate towards them, but everyone knows who they are. And that's because a very popular, beautiful young woman in the area is perceived to be murdered or missing. They've not found her body. So she is considered to be murdered, but she could be missing. And the Singh family's their oldest son, the older brother Sal, was dating this beautiful young girl at the time. They think has murdered Andy, who is this young woman, this young girl in town. And Pip decides, our main character, she decides to go to the Singh's house, knocks on their front door, and talks to the younger brother, Ravi, and says, I want to prove that your brother didn't commit this murder, which is so out of character for the rest of the town. The whole town seems 100% convinced that that's what happened. They hate this family. And so it's just kind of shocking. We end the first chapter and she's like, I want to prove that Sal didn't do it. So it's just incredible. First chapter, you're hooked like right off the bat. Mm-hmm. We go through this first part and it's mostly Pip working on this school project. She is interviewing lots of people. She's recording all of her. Pip decides to do the school project. She is going to be interviewing all of the people. She's gathering all this information. And really her goal is to prove that Sal didn't do it. Mm-hmm. We start off and she decides to do some digging on her own. She looks into old social media posts. She kind of finds out who Andy's friends are. Talks to a journalist who has recorded a ton of information about this case, but who is very biased.
And very.
Lots of things wrong with this journalist. Mm-hmm. But she talks to him and kind of finds out what the process is when someone goes missing and kind of bases her experiment and her project based off this kind of series of events. She talks to this journalist, finds out what he thinks and why he thinks it's Sal that actually did it and why he's so convinced. And he says a lot of not very nice things.
No,
he's very inappropriate, very racist, and it's just not a good interaction, and you can tell that he's very biased just going into it, not something that you want to see out of a journalist, but she does get a lot of good information from it. she finds out, you know, that they normally contact friends right off the bat, boyfriends right off the bat. So that's kind of the track that she's going to follow. And then he also mentions that, if I remember right, that she doesn't have a good relationship with her father.
No, she does not.
That kind of makes Pip like, oh, okay, the father doesn't have a good relationship with her. So that puts him as one of my top suspects at this time. She goes back and watches like news clippings and sees that the father says something, and he says, Andy was a big part of our household. And so right off the bat, he's already talking in the past sense, which is not normal, considering that she's not been pronounced dead at this point. Like, she's only been missing like a day, 2 days at this point. So the father goes right to the top of Pip's suspected persons list. So she goes to the Singh's house again and interviews Ravi, because he's one of the first family members, like one of the closest to the crimes, and interviews him and asks him lots of questions. Well, do you think he did it? Like, what do you think? And he just thinks, no, like, it's out of character for my brother. Doesn't seem right to me. He was acting really normal until all of this happened. So she's kind of validated in her thoughts that she doesn't think it's Sal, and neither does the family. That's also when we find out that, unfortunately, after all of this comes out, that Sal actually ended up committing suicide that same week that she had gone missing. Mm-hmm. He sent a text, which at this time we don't know what the text says. He just sent some text he sent it to his dad, but you can just tell that there was a lot of stuff going on in Sal's mind at this time. Whether he is the one that did it or not, he has obviously very heavy thoughts weighing on his mind, because he's very worried. He calls Andy multiple times during the night, like trying to contact her. And we find out that early on that it just doesn't seem right, that if he were the one to do it, why would he have called? And the cell phone was found on Sal's body, and why would he call it if he had the cell phone? We find out that the night of the murder, she's trying to figure out where everyone was, or the night that Andy went missing. She's trying to figure out where everybody was, and it seems like they were all at a party, except for Andy. She was at home and was supposed to pick up her parents from a different party, a different gathering that they were at. We have Sal there, we have Max there, who it's Max's house, and she decides to interview Max and talks about, you know, what was going on during the party, who was there, when did everybody leave. He said, yes, Sal left early, he didn't really make a big commotion about it. We just get a lot of different perspectives about what's going on over this part. So we talk to Max, we talk to, always. She gets to talk to all of these people, and we find out little hints from the friends. There's some discrepancies in stories already starting to turn up, where Naomi says that Sal announced that he was leaving, and then Max says he left quietly. They say that, is it Naomi that says that she's upstairs?
And yes.
Yes, she's upstairs hanging out with another girl, but then Max said that Naomi's out by herself, like, not with everybody else. So, we get a lot of different stories, and that puts Naomi up on the list of suspects. After talking with Naomi, so Naomi gets put up on the suspect list, which I'm obviously a little sus of Naomi.
Same.
After that, she talks to Emma and Chloe, who were two close friends of Andy, and they are kind of really secretive, and we find out that maybe Andy isn't this, like, sweet, really nice, popular girl that everyone has kind of made her out to be, that she was kind of a mean girl, it seems. Like, she's pretty controlling of her friends, and very secretive with them, but a secret older guy gets kind of introduced that maybe or maybe isn't real. But it seems like she likes to kind of play these games with her friends and kind of likes to hint at things. So we get the secret older guy who gets to be a suspect, I think mostly just because we don't know anything about him. But he's kind of brought in. So that's kind of where our suspect list is after all of these interviews that she does. They go to the grocery store, and Pip is there with her mom, and Ravi is there as well. And he mentions that he doesn't normally come into town because it's just a negative experience for him. But he's buying something for his house, and the cashier is just being really ugly towards him and not very nice. And Pip decides to say something about it, like, what's the issue? And that makes Ravi really upset because he feels like she's fighting his battles for him. He just doesn't want that. And so he kind of storms off and we think, oh no, like we're losing this connection between Pip and Ravi, which could potentially be a strong point that we need to kind of continue on with this case because he's so close to it. Come to find out, he ends up feeling bad about that, comes to Pip's house and kind of says, you know, this is what I have always wanted to do. I've wanted to dig into this and I've wanted to be the one to find out what really happened because I didn't think it was Sal, but I couldn't because I was so close. No one would believe me. No one would give me the time of day, but you're in the perfect position to do this, so I want to help you. And here is Sal's phone, which I thought was so interesting that they had his phone. And that we could kind of go through it, and you could see that Sal and Andy were in a little bit of a fight the day that she went missing, but that was not really uncommon because she kind of fought with everybody, it seems. But we also see he called a ton of times, so that got backed up. He messaged, like, he really was seemed like he was trying to find her. And we get to see that his grammar is different in the text that he sent his dad, which was a big deal to me. He normally types in all lowercase, which he did in this text, but he used commas and periods in this text, which was not something that you saw in the pattern of his other text. So that was a big, like, big clue to me, a big hint. It puts another little seed of doubt in your mind that it isn't Sal. We also go through the text, we see that, you know, he's trying to get her back, he's trying to get her to come home, and then we just get that random text that he says it was him, but to me that's just not quite right. After this, we kind of cut scenes a little bit. We're stepping away from the investigation, and Pip is going to a birthday party slash kind of like last fling of summer. Her and all her friends decided to go out camping, and this is the scene that makes me want to keep reading so badly.
Oh, yeah.
They're all in the woods. They're telling all these ghost stories. Her friends are picking on her about the case. We also find out that one of her friends kind of spilled the beans to everybody about some details of the case, which she was not really wanting to happen. They all kind of know a little more. I think they know about the secret older guy, if I'm right. One of her friends kind of tells about the secret older guy. So they're telling their ghost stories, you know, kind of really classic teenager camping stories going on. When a phone light or some kind of light is out in the woods, and they see, Pip sees, like, a human or somebody standing there with a light, and one of her friends runs off to chase after the guy. Everyone's, like, really unnerved. Everyone kind of runs off except for the two girlfriends. Her two girlfriends kind of stay back, but when they all come back to the tent, they weren't there, so it was, like, just a really, like, I don't know, it was just a crazy experience. Everyone's kind of, like, freaking out about what's going on, and Pip is convinced that it's her friends. She's like, guys, like, you guys set this up, you're just messing with me, and she's a little rattled by it, but decides to go ahead and go to bed, so she gets in her sleeping bag, and there is a note. Oh my gosh. And let me read exactly what the note says. It says, "Stop digging, Pippa." Oh my gosh, this blew my mind. but she's still convinced that it's her friends playing this prank on her. But then she has a seed of doubt in her mind that it's not her friends. Like, I'm just, like, mind blown after all of this. So that's really where we end, right?
Definitely.
That's the end. So we have, like, a creepy person out in the woods. We have the note. We have all the information that she's gathered. We have her suspect list. The dad's on the list. Naomi's on the list. And the older man is on the list. So, yeah, there's so much going on.
It's a lot. It literally is so fast-paced. Like, it literally throws you straight into it. And he's like, we already got suspects.
It does. And if you're in a reading slump, this is the book for you. Because
it's
going to help pull you out. What do you think so far of part one?
Oh, part one, I'm a sucker for multimedia books. Mm-hmm. Like, when I read Illuminae for the first time, I was in love with it, especially because I'm a science nerd. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to school for chemistry.
Yeah.
And literally multimedia and pulling in those facts and those recordings kind of gives you an outsider perspective while also following the main character, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I honestly I love Pippa. I love Ravi. I just think it's a perfect fast-paced, thriller mystery that just keeps you on the edge of your seat the entire time.
Yes, the pacing to me is great. It is fast, but it's it's not like too fast, so I feel like I'm missing out on a lot of stuff. It's just, it's fast and it keeps me interesting and I want to keep turning the page because it seems like every page leaves you needing to know what happens on the next page.
Oh, yeah. Out of curiosity, who do you think it is so far based on the suspects? Oh. Because I know who it is. I'm just not saying anything.
I know, you know. I don't know. I want to think that... Okay, so here's my thought. I 100% don't think it's Sal. I think... Mm-hmm. Here are my two kind of thoughts. One, I think it's somebody framing... Obviously, I think it's somebody framing Sal.
Mm-hmm.
And... Andy is dead. This is just my first thought, so I really have two. So
yeah, of course.
My first thought is somebody's framing Sal. Andy's dead. He was an easy framing suspect. Easy. But my second thought is that Andy isn't dead.
Ooh.
And yeah, so that's kind of, I don't know. That's what I want. I think that's how I want the book to kind of go. I want Andy to not be dead. Number one, they haven't found her body. And like, what are the odds? And yeah. I don't know. I have so many thoughts. One, I think Andy isn't dead. She's just missing and somebody framed Sal. And then my other thought is, what if it's Andy who's killed Sal? It's kind of framed as her own death, which, you know, I know you know, so my ideas might be, like, insane.
I do like that theory, though. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, so my other thought is that maybe it's Andy who has killed Sal and framed it kind of completely backwards. So who knows? We'll see when we talk in week three. I love that about this. Like, when we were doing the Inheritance Games podcast, I had, like, so many theories I threw out, and it was just funny to listen back and think, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Some of those are right, and some of those I was so wrong.
All right, I'll propose my theory I'll propose my theory from when I first read this.
Okay.
My initial theory was... either Jason Bell or Naomi.
Yeah, Naomi is my easy answer that I want to answer.
That's what I was thinking when I first read it. I'm like, Naomi, they hand you Naomi right off the bat. Like, yes,
and that could be a good plot twist that they hand it to you and then you think, oh, no, that's too easy, and then it ends up being her.
But, yeah, they basically prove that she's innocent, but in reality she's not kind of deal. Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, so I could see that. I could see that happening. But, yeah, Naomi's my easy out. That's, like, my first thought, what I would think. Oh, yeah, like, she's the jealous girl.
Exactly.
You know, she really wasn't as good of friends with Andy as you would think, all of this, but... When I think about it and think about how everyone really likes this book and it's so good, it just seems like too easy of an out for me.
Exactly.
But then I agree, there's 100%. Also the whole case that this is a book that's going to be turned into a sequel. So, like, do we find out? Do we even really know? So, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a separate mystery because I also think that there's a third book coming out.
Oh,
so I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know, man.
Are there any characters? Well, I don't know. I really kind of asked you when we were messaging through any characters that you really loved, but it almost seems like we should be talking about characters that we don't love.
Oh, gosh.
Any characters that you really love at this point, we'll go ahead and talk about it.
I relate to Pippa a lot just because I was always that kid who tried to stay hold in and tried to do schoolwork a lot as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I relate to Pippa a lot. I also just love Robbie. And
yeah,
definitely
I like Robbie a lot.
Later in the book, you're definitely going to come to love Robbie a lot more. And I just, my heart sings for him.
I
underrated
really,
character.
I really like Robbie. I was going to say that that's probably my character that I really enjoy the most so far.
I'm trying to think about if there were any characters I didn't like, but they might be later on in the book, so I'm not going to say anything.
Okay.
I have to remember their names, too, because there's a lot of names thrown
around
in this
book.
There
are so many names. I feel like I need to make a character map so that I can, like, really keep everybody straight.
Honestly, but they do have a plot. They do have a map as to, like, she actually includes a map, like, a picture of a map of, like, how the routes went and what happened that night. So that way...
Yes, we did see that.
Yeah, and I definitely, like, I remember the first time around, I was like, what is this? And now reading it again, I'm like, okay, I can understand this map a lot more. But I think it definitely gives you an insider perspective as to how Pippa reacts to this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I know we kind of already talked about this a little bit, but does this remind you of anything that you've read before?
Oh, God. Honestly, it kind of reminds me of Truly Devious in a way.
Oh, I almost picked that up last night.
Yeah.
I almost bought that.
Honestly, as much of a murder mystery fan I am, I'm not a huge fan of Truly Devious, ooh, which is interesting. But I did read it, and it very much gives me the main character of that. I believe her name is Stevie. She goes by Stevie. Mm-hmm. You know, her name's like Stephanie. Stevie very much is a mystery bunk, to say. Like, she listens to podcasts all the time. She, in that book, is specifically trying to solve the mystery of, like, the kidnapping murder that happens at the it's like not a college, it's a boarding school. Mm-hmm. But she gives me very much vibes to Pippa, in the sense that they're very much driven to what they want to find, and they're going to do what they can to try and get it. Mm. Even though we don't get much of that in the first book of Truly Devious, I definitely relate Stevie to Pippa a lot.
Nice. I think this isn't a book, but this reminds me so much of Pretty Little Liars to me.
Oh.
I've not finished that series or that show, but I watched it a lot when I was younger. And to me, this book just feels like it's like 100% Pretty Little Liars vibes to me.
Oh my gosh. This, I feel like that's kind of the way that I kind of relate One of Us is Lying to Riverdale.
Mm.
It gives me, like, very much those vibes.
In Pretty Little Liars, the, like, friend that's missing / murdered, whatever. I don't want to spoil the show for anyone that hasn't seen it.
Yeah,
but that girl, she also has this, like, personality that's not so, like goody two shoes nice, that, like, everyone kind of had on the picture, like the popular girl. So Andy reminds me of the same girl in that. And also these, like, notes in Pretty Little Liars, there's, like, A is kind of, like, this anonymous person who's sending them, like, notes and text. So that note at the end, like, really tied this to Pretty Little Liars for me.
Oh, yeah. I could see that. I have only watched, like, the first episode of Pretty Little Liars. Yeah. So I get what you're going for.
Yeah. Any key quotes so far? I feel like I kind of already talked about some of mine. The very first chapter when she's like, I want to prove that Sal didn't do it. Like, whoa. Yeah, that's a key quote.
Exactly. I also really like the humor that's presented in this book. Like, there's one point where Kara, the sister of Naomi, mm-hmm. is like, well, did you eat my Butterfingers? Like, that yes. kind of thing.
Like, in the middle of this serious interview that they're having, she just cuts in like,
you can't defeat my hunger with your interview or something like that. And then yes. my other favorite quote, like, I don't know, I just like the humor ones. Mm-hmm. The one where they're talking about, like, it's sausage to me. Like, yes. it's just so dumb.
I love that.
And then
that is definitely one of my key quotes, when they're talking about all of those, like, weird things that Pip says. Like, it's sausage to me. Yeah, that killed me.
Yeah, and then I think my other one is, if you have the hardcover of the book, on the back it says, when they ask you what happened to Andy Bell, they'll tell you without hesitation, she was murdered by Salil mm-hmm. Singh. No allegedly, no might have, no probably, no most likely. He did it, they say. Sal killed Annie, but I'm just not so sure.
Yes, that is so
sums it up
good.
In its entirety, and it's like, it gives me such CSI vibes, and I love it.
Yes. And then another thing that I really like that's pretty funny is the very first, not even the first chapter, but the little proposal that she sends to her teacher. She's like, the teacher's like, yep, you can do it, just don't involve any of the family. And then, like, right off the bat, first chapter, she's going to the family's house. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I liked. I was just like, oh, we're getting thrown right into this. This is what I like about those books.
Yep, it was just so funny. She's like, you can do anything, just be ethical, don't go talk to the families. And then immediately goes and talks to the families.
Boom.
Yeah, it's too good,
honestly.
So there's so many, like, I kind of worded it as OMG moments, but, like, just, like, total shocking moments. And then I don't even know that you can sum up a few in this, because
there are a bit.
There are just so many, but OMG for me, the man or whoever, person, girl, boy, whoever in the woods, that is an OMG moment. The mm-hmm. note, of course, is an OMG moment. The grammar in the text.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm a grammar bunk, so that got me right off the bat.
Yes, that I was like, oh my gosh, it isn't him.
Exactly. <Red alert. laughs> I love how it's the tiny things in this book that set you off, mm-hmm. and you're just like, it's like, especially in, like, mysteries like these, when you're trying to prove someone's innocence, even though they might have seemingly been the culprit. It's the small stuff that piles up over time that makes you realize, oh, yeah, it definitely isn't him. This is exactly that.
Yes, it is. And then watch me be, like, so wrong. Who knows? But to me, I'm like, nope, it's not Sal. It's not. It's not.
That'll change. That'll change. I think one of mine was, I think definitely the scenes that we tend to see a lot of racism towards Ravi. Mm. I think, like, especially rereading this a second time, I definitely think this book touches a lot upon of, like, bigotry and just racism in general. And I think it does it just enough in the very beginning that it doesn't overwhelm you with it, mm-hmm. which is what I appreciate, because it's kind of like the underlying reasons why Sal basically was committed of this murder.
Yes.
Supposed suicide. Yeah. But I definitely liked those moments. Like, I want to punch this guy across the face. But but, like, it definitely drives a point home that this is a town driven by bias.
Yes, especially, and it gives when it came you to just the, like, small town.
Exactly.
Like, you know, it just makes it, it kind of grounds it a little more. Like, it makes mm-hmm. it a little more realistic, because unfortunately we have people like that in our real world who mm-hmm. make assumptions and biases like that, and so it really just, like, it really makes it more realistic, unfortunately. I wish that wasn't the case, but unfortunately it does add that kind of more aspect of realism into it.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. And mm-hmm. you know, we don't support any of that, like,
no.
especially in an area where I live, like, I see a lot of it. So, yeah, you know, books like this definitely, I think, try to raise awareness to it, especially when it comes to people's lives being taken or like kidnappings mm-hmm. too.
And it's nice to see Pip as a strong main character, even though that mm-hmm. she has, she's kind of portrayed as the really focused in her school, so you would think that she wouldn't necessarily be so willing to stand up for other people. And, like, you know, you kind of get that in books a lot when they're really focused on school, that they're really reserved and quiet and don't really mm-hmm. stand up for that kind of thing. But that's not how Pip is. She is both really invested in her school and dedicated, but also willing to stand up for these things that she doesn't agree with.
Exactly. That's why I love her so much as a character.
Yeah, she's especially a great character so far.
Yeah, and we'll see later on that, like, you know, every character has to have their fall at some point, and I think that part was done really well, but I won't get any further with that just because I want to see your reactions to it as well.
I know. It's so interesting to get to talk when you know what happens and I don't, you know? Like, we have two, like, differing perspectives, and it's pretty neat.
I definitely think rereading it, and specifically at specific parts, has grounded me in the sense that I know what I can't go beyond, because now I know the order at which things happen. So, yeah. I'm very helpful for that.
Yes, because, like, when we do other podcasts and I don't know what's going to happen, I always feel bad, because I'm like, what if I'm spoiling something? I don't mean to, but what if I do?
Oops.
Yeah. All right, so that is it for part one's kind of wrap-up. We will be back next Monday to record and talk about part two. So keeping it simple for you guys, just read up to part two for next week, and we'll be back to chat about it. That's it for today's episode of Judge a Book. If you enjoyed, please make sure to give us a 5-star review before you go. Connect with me on social media. They're all linked in the pod description. And don't forget, next Monday, a new episode of Book Club will be released, and we can once again judge a book.